Koji is a venture capital firm cultivating community. This podcast is dedicated to cultivating conversations. Web 3.0 is democratizing the internet, and Koji Conversations is here to democratize access to the founders, investors, and creators building it from the ground up.
Welcome back to another episode of Koji Conversations. This week, we are so excited to have co-founder of Alluvium, Kieran Warwick, join us. Kieran, thank you so much for coming on the pod.
Thanks, Sophie, for having me.
It's great to have you. We like to kick off all of our episodes with an elevator pitch from founders just to give us the TLDR on what Alluvium's building and where it's at.
Sure. So we're essentially trying to build the first AAA game on the blockchain. So Alluvium is a open world collectible and auto battler game merged into one. It's kind of like two genres in one, which is exciting. We're fully decentralized. We have about 1.2 million registered users so far. We've got just over a billion that is staked in the protocol. We've got quite a bit of traction behind us. Yeah, we're currently sitting at about, I think we're third out of all the GameFi tokens out there at the moment. So without a game that's actually launched, which our open beta should be out around June, it's pretty crazy. The traction that we're getting, it's really surprising.
Yeah, I guess that leads to a natural question for you as a founder and the rest of your team. What have been the key unlocks in that kind of sustained engagement of the token and the community and the game when you do have such a long roadmap in order to get out a AAA game?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a juggling act. We're a GameFi platform. And so what that means is we've integrated a whole bunch of DeFi elements, and that's allowed us to buy some time for investors to sink their teeth into things now and do things like staking. We have governance, which is live, which is really important because that decentralized governance is essentially what steers the protocol. And so we've tried to put out as much stuff as we can to appease those users, because to build a AAA game usually takes, you know, anywhere between 3 to 7 years, depending on it. We went out with a very, very aggressive date and said that we're going to build it in 12 months, which is probably a little bit naive, but the reason is because in crypto, everything moves so fast, and we know that we need to get things out and into the hands of the users. And so, yeah, we've just been trying to release products in a way where, you know, a cascading way where we're really just trying to appease people, I guess, until the real deal comes out.
Yeah, and the staking feature, like your DeFi integrations, it's probably also works, you know, from two sides of the strategy, right? You've got sustained interest in your token, liquidity, but it's also bringing, you know, crypto natives and people native to DeFi into the gaming space. So you're trying to bring that audience sector along. And then with a AAA game, you obviously want to bring legacy gamers, and you're hoping that it's going to be this fortuitous marriage, king of GameFi.
Correct. Yeah. That's the way that our sort of team is, the co-founders. Aaron is very, very heavily into the game design. Like, he's the chief game designer. And so he's very, very focused on making an unbelievably good game that mainstream people would want to come across and start playing, which we haven't seen yet with the titles that are available on blockchain now. Where I come in is I'm more with the DeFi elements. And so I really wanted to integrate a whole bunch of different staking elements. And we had flash pools where we would partner with like other protocols. And all of that was about gaining the attention of big legacy crypto investors, showing them that you might not play the game, but there's still something here for you. And I think that's what's missing with a lot of other games, is they haven't integrated the things that crypto native people find fun themselves, you know, like lending and staking and all of these different types of financial products that you can integrate in. If you have both, then yeah, we're hoping for that symbiotic relationship where you've got the investors on one side, you've got the players on the other side, and both are really happy.
Yeah. And for yourself, because you, I mean, you're a DeFi investor as well, you're kind of a serial entrepreneur. Why gaming? Why did you want to pursue Alluvium in the first instance?
I mean, look, I'm a gamer, and I, you know, I have been pretty much all my life. Like, we literally had computers from since I can remember, and so it is a passion of mine. But it is, if you asked someone, you know, 2 years ago, would I be starting a gaming company? They probably wouldn't be in their top 10, you know. So I just saw a gap in the market, and I know from playing games all my life that one of the most frustrating things is building up your army or like your characters or whatever it is, you're accumulating stuff that's valuable and also valuable to other people, but the games disallow you from being able to sell those assets. And it's frustrating. And it has been a frustrating topic for decades and decades. And so I looked at this NFT technology and I thought, this is it. Like, this is the thing that everyone's been waiting for. And when you're talking a 3 billion person market, like, it's pretty exciting when you think, okay, if the only missing thing here is a good quality game, if we just build that and utilize all of the elements of DeFi and the blockchain, this is going to be an insane shift. And so that's kind of what I saw, and we just implemented it.
And, you know, in building a triple A game, that's obviously a key point of difference, but you also have some really interesting in-game points of difference compared to other blockchain games. In particular, one that really strikes me is like that your alluvials are going to be finite. So you're going to kind of promote and see this in-game game theory play out. And something that strikes me about some of your comments on investing is no one is thinking about this, and you just touched on it, on like a multi-decade, multi-generational horizon. Like, these NFTs are going to accrue so much value. A vintage alluvial from set one, like, imagine how that's going to play out over the next 5-10 years.
Well, yeah, I look at it like Pokemon. I look at what they did. They're the most successful collection franchise by like 10 times, you know, and I look at what they built and you know, the nostalgia that it creates and all of that kind of stuff. And I think the advantage that we have here is that the thing that you loved about Pokemon was not so much the games, it was the cards. The things that people hold now, you see Logan Paul will go on and sell a card for $1 million or whatever. It's the physical, tangible, I own something that's rare, that allows us to build this game and do it digitally the exact same way. So I'm thinking exactly what you're thinking. You know, if we're going to get to the stage where we have set 15 that's coming out in our 12th year or whatever, and the people that have that initial NFT from set one, those characters, because it's finite, it's just organically going to increase in value.
And I know you're probably like, you know, let's just focus on getting the game out first. But the beauty of this stack and GameFi is, feasibly, you could see a prediction market, you know, compose around the game and the alluvial set, which is goes back to the notion that there's going to be layers on top of your game that appeal to just people interested in DeFi versus gamers versus a marriage of both.
Yeah, there's so many it's such a brand new space that you look at guilds, for example, like there's tens of billions of dollars in guilds out there right now, you know, and that's, they've come about to try and facilitate the need for onboarding players that can't make it into the market because there's this barrier for entry. And so that's a product. And then, you know, I'm talking to a couple of teams at the moment who are building things like NFT lending platforms. There's just, you know, we're doing things like we've got a PFP project, which is just being tacked on top, which is Illuvatars. There's land. There's just, yeah, it's, the exciting thing is you've built a platform and you can just continue to tack on exciting innovations to that product.
Can't help but feel that guilds are kind of risky business though, right? Like when these AAA games are entering the space, you know, there's going to be a consolidation of where the attention is and these guilds are going to have this glut of in-game assets. How do they pivot in your view?
I have a lot of thoughts on this, but I don't think they're going to be able to that's the answer. I think the smart ones are purchasing assets in a way that I think is potentially sustainable. Then there are some other ones where they're literally so overstocked in some areas that they're lending assets to other guilds. When we get to that stage, I start to freak out. I'm like, are we sitting on a house of cards here? You know, plus there's also this ability for these games to build guilds inside. If you look at World of Warcraft, that was such a successful guild structure because it was inside the game. People were playing and chatting inside the game. I fear when, you know, and obviously there can be external guilds and there always have been, there always will be. But when you integrate, if AAA games start building and integrating these systems, it sort of makes them obsolete and there's nothing they can do about it, you know? And so they're the things that freak me out about what's happening with the guild movement at the moment. Plus, a lot of it is, a lot of the reason that they're there is because there's these barriers to entry. Game developers in this space are going to get smarter and new versions of games are going to be free to play so people can get into the ecosystem. They don't need a guild to get in. And when that happens, that's going to hurt them again. So I don't know. I think there's definitely a place for them. But I think it's going to be rocky seeing it play out, to say the least.
And then for a game like Axie, and you want to build something very different to that, but like what are the key learnings for you guys? Because like you have to, Axie is kind of like the unlock for P2E and it's been an incredible journey so far, but whether that's sustainable is another question entirely.
Oh, for sure. They pioneered the entire space of play to earn. That full credit goes to them. Where we've learned is we studied their economy for many, many weeks before, you know, we decided on a final model of our tokenomics. And the biggest issue that we found was that if there's no one willing to input value where they're not expecting to have an output that's higher, meaning if they're okay with spending $1,000 on the game, and if they leave that game and they can only get, say, $500 for their assets, they're okay because they got $500 of entertainment value. Now, where that's better than a Fortnite is in Fortnite, you're spending $1,000 on your skins and you're leaving with nothing. Right. So it needs to be, there still needs to be a value on the fun factor. Now, the issue with Axie is it's very much an indie game. So after a while, it starts becoming not as fun. You'd want to go back to your mainstream games because it's just not as entertaining. And so they've got this issue where are they going to be out? Is someone going to purchase a skin for their Axie? Now, I think yes, I actually do, right? Like, people are crazy in this space. I genuinely think that they built up an IP that's worth enough where if they put out a set of Axie skins, people would start buying them. That's the way that they're going to be able to sustain their economy long term, because people aren't expecting anything back from that. They're just happy to buy a cosmetic. It doesn't have any effect. It doesn't make them better in the game. It's just a flex, and they're willing to spend that money on that. So that's probably one of the first things. The second big thing is we made everything about being finite, talking about burning our alluvials. We have a fusing system, whereas they have a breeding system. So they're making more and more and more axes, which obviously is going to reduce the amount that they're worth. Whereas we are having people fuse because they want a better alluvial. They want a stronger one so they can win more battles. And that takes out three alluvials from the ecosystem. And so everything in our entire game is built around making things rarer, because that's how you make them more valuable.
And what about the skill level for a player in Alluvia? Like, are these alluvials going to be hard to catch to varying degrees?
So yes, there's, I would say in the PvP element of it, there's a ton of meta. Like, it's super complex. Yes, it's an auto battler, and a lot of people, there's a misconception out there that, oh, you don't control your character, so there's no skill there. Go play one game of TFT and tell me there's no skill there. It's, you know, there is. And we've built, it's probably 25% more complex in terms of the actual in-battle synergy system that Aaron has built. And so there's even more variables there in battle, which ultimately make the meta larger, which makes the amount of combinations larger, which makes everything more, makes everyone more skillful, because there's just more options. Whereas that's kind of where people go back to with Axie, and they're like, there's just not enough meta there for it to be a really super, like, it's not going to turn into an esports game. You know what I mean?
On something like esports, what are your predictions around, you know, like the legacy gaming industry entering the blockchain space compared to, you guys have obviously got first movers advantage, but, you know, you have to expect that they're at least going to attempt to integrate, or do you think, you know, they're like, we own our patch and we're going to stick to it?
No. I mean, I wouldn't, if I didn't think mainstream was going to adopt blockchain, I wouldn't have had that aha moment when I stumbled upon Axie. The reason I believe this is because it comes from the gamers. If it was coming from the companies themselves, then no, I don't think it would change. But because the people, their customers, are going to see it now with games like ours, and there's probably five or six other really, really big titles that you would consider same quality as mainstream, after a while, it's very, very natural. Those gamers are going to go, well, why do they get to sell their assets and make money off their games when the games are just as good now? Like, no, I'm sorry, I'm not doing this anymore. And then you're going to see people start peeling away, and they'll have to change. You know, it's just a natural progression, and something that's been wanted for so long.
Yeah, and I guess you're probably seeing the first migration of that at, like, the staffing level, right? You've got a massive team building this, and they're leaving these legacy worlds of, you know, animation to come and build with you. So they've seen the writing on the wall.
Yeah, I mean, it's still tough. I'll say that. Like, yes, they see the writing on the wall, but it's also very, the type of caliber that we're bringing in are like top level talent at these studios. And so they're very skeptical as well. I mean, less so now. Like, you get a million people register for your game pre-launch, they start going, okay, we've got something here. But go back 9 months ago and it was like, nah, we're not doing that. You know what I mean? So
the cell's getting stronger day by day.
Yes, it is. It's much. And then it's easier when you can go, hey, look, the other 30 guys did it, you know, and they were all at really good jobs like you were. So we're not just tricking everyone. Like, there's something here. Yeah.
And then I guess broadening out the scope a little bit, what is the bull case for the metaverse more generally, in your view?
I think we've got a long, long way to go. The one thing that I'm realizing is that we're just so early. Like, if internet started going mainstream around 98 to 2000, we're like sitting in 96 is what I'm realizing. And like, people like Axie was building in 93 then, you know what I mean? Like, it's such a tough thing for people to comprehend. Like, you really need to, especially DeFi, it takes a long time to understand it. And I think a lot of people just look at it and go, I don't understand it, so no. And obviously, over time, we're slowly breaking those walls down, but I'm still thinking we're like 3, 4, 5 years away before we start seeing any like real, real big mainstream studios start coming across.
Interesting. Because you're kind of bearish on like interoperable assets for gaming, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I know what it takes to do it. I know what it takes to do it inside our own ecosystem.
Yeah.
And people that, you know, go out and say, you know, we're going to be, and like, sometimes I say it and there are people who are doing it, but like the quality of game is not getting anyone to come over. Like, if you want to properly get a weapon from Call of Duty and put that in Fortnite, the complexity behind that is utterly ridiculous. I'm not saying it's not possible, but the amount of collaboration that those two teams would need to have, there's just so much to it, and we can potentially get to it, but it's conversations like that which are super dangerous, because someone from mainstream, a video game developer from mainstream, just looks at that and goes, just come on, guys. Like, you're not building games where they all work magically together and everyone's living in the same, bringing their avatar. Like, it's just not happening. And so if we keep pushing that narrative, people are going to look at us and go, they're idiots. You know, so I don't like it.
It does feel low down the pecking order, but also as a gamer, it doesn't seem like something I would inherently want either. If I am a very good player in Alluvium, that's where I want my assets. That's where I want them accruing value. I don't have a priority number one desire to get it into a different game, my assets, for a like-for-like value, for example. So it just doesn't like make sense intuitively straight off the bat.
Yeah, and then, I mean, what is the like-for-like value? Like, these ecosystems, these economic ecosystems are unbelievably fragile as it is. Like, you look at Pegasi, you look at Axie, you look at all of these economies, everyone's still trying to work it out as it is. You want to add in the variable of how much is this new asset worth, where they didn't buy it through our exchange, they bought it through ours, so we didn't accrue any fees, so that's not fair that he can use it and get money in this game. Like, it just needs to stop, seriously.
Yeah. And on DeFi being difficult for people to understand, what does onboarding to your game and to the ecosystem look like for people who have never set up a crypto wallet, for context?
Yeah, so we're building on Immutable, which is a layer 2 solution, which I won't go too deep into, but essentially what that means is you're getting sub-second transaction times, which, as you would know with Ethereum, it can, you know, if you're sitting there and each transaction is taking potentially, you know, 2-3 minutes, unless you're spending hundreds of dollars. It's, you know, it's not going to be a good experience. And so, you know, going on Immutable solves a lot of those problems. And potentially as well, if they can, they're saying it should be ready by the time we launch, but they're building a fiat on-ramp. And so even that, it should be, put your credit card in, convert yourself some ETH, and then away you go. You can come into our game and you can start playing, and you ideally won't even realize that transactions are happening on the blockchain behind you.
We're off to the races. That would be an incredible unlock. That's bring me up to speed on the timeline for Alluvium at the moment. Where is, because you guys are about to launch a private beta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then what does it look like for the next kind of 2 quarters after that?
Yeah. So the private beta, we're looking to, it's a training grounds. So it's a way for you to learn the synergy system about like the different classes and affinities and all that kind of stuff. And that we're expecting, it's very closed to start off with, but we're wanting to open that up like very, very quickly to like tens of thousands of players. We just want to make sure everything's working and tested and all good. Once that has been opened up, that's when we'll head to private beta 2, and then eventually we'll go to open beta. Open beta should be somewhere around June of this year.
Awesome. And that's not the only thing, as you mentioned or teased earlier, that you guys have kind of in the pipeline. You've also got a land sale incoming and a PFP project on top. So a bit going on down in your HQ, I imagine. But what's the timeline looking at like for that?
Yeah, so the land sale is going to be in the land sale out isn't out in the next month. I'm going to kill myself. So that's where I'm at. I need that land sale to be live. We're so, like everything is, we've just had all these issues. I'm going to say within the next month, we've got to get V2 staking contracts out like this week. That's first priority. Once we get the V2 staking contracts out, it's almost kind of up to us. Like we just want to make sure that the V2 contracts are ginormous. And like we just want to make sure things are smooth, working. Once we figure that out, the exciting thing is that we are running the land sale where the assets will be minted on Immutable. So it's, you're buying on layer one, but they'll be minted on layer two.
Which
means you're ready to go straight away once Alluvium Zero launches. Sick. Which is another mini game.
it's a pretty family affair for you guys in the office. So do you feel like this is the perfect synergy of like everything that you actually need to create a AAA game? Or is it like there is 4 competing interests as far as these timelines go that we're trying to get out?
No, there's no way. Like, I don't know how. This is what I say. It's just freak luck that somehow we all bring the missing parts that the other person doesn't bring. So, like, could Aaron go out and raise the $5 million that we needed to start off the project? Probably not. Could Grant do that? Probably not. Could I do the artwork that Grant does in terms of getting that aesthetic that we have, which is just
stunning.
You know what,
so epic,
stunning, you know, not a chance. Could Aaron do that? Not a chance. Then could I write a 1500 page game design doc? Not a chance. Could Grant do that? Not a chance. So if you took any one of us out, I think it fails, like honestly, and maybe not now because it's got so much traction, and I think, you know, we could, there's always ways around things, but in the beginning, certainly if there was one person missing, it just wouldn't have worked. We needed all 3.
Dude, you're lucky. I'm also 1 of 4, and my siblings and I would be twiddling our thumbs trying to work that out together. So good on you guys. That's awesome. All right. Well, Kieran, I know your Discord is actually popping off, and that is not an understatement. If I want to join the community or follow along to get in at the ground floor, what is the best way?
Definitely go to Discord. But even I would say even probably before Discord, go read every single one of our Medium articles. It'll take you 2 or 3 hours, but you'll see why there are some people that know things that others don't. If you read all the way, like we spent months and months and months and months building this out, designing it. There's a reason for almost everything. And if you go through those Medium articles, you'll get an idea of what we're trying to build here and like the magnitude of it. This is not just a flash in the pan. So go there, then hit the Discord and you'll see that the active people in there, they've drank the Kool-Aid and yeah, it's quite fun in there.
Yeah, my favorite channel is the character leaks. I really enjoy seeing everyone get around everything that's popping out. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining the podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
No worries.
Thanks for joining this Koji conversation. To continue the conversation offline, DM us on Twitter at @Koji_capital or reach out to us via email hello@Koji.capital or jump into our Discord linked in our bio.